So, I haven't been super active on my Facebook page, my Twitter feed. I really haven't been reading a lot of so-called integral health articles online, and I've just gone through this period, maybe for the last month, where I wouldn't say I've lost interest in this topic, but I just have not been inspired to really deepen my thinking or explore sort of new avenues on this topic. It's not that I haven't been interested in anything. Of course, you know, life has rolled on, and I've had some certain things going on, applying for jobs, finishing up grad school, this, that, and the other thing. But one of the things that has captured my interest, and probably a lot of listeners out there would feel the same, is the presidential elections, the primaries. And, you know, part of it is, I guess I've been sucked in by just the, you know, crazy nature of what's been going on, especially on the Republican side. But when I tend to think about these things, the angle that fascinates me the most is this critical thinking perspective. And I've been reflecting on this idea of critical thinking, and first of all, realizing that it is really a core value of mine. One of the things I've had to do as a career counselor this semester, working at my university career center for my internship, is, you know, you do some values exploration with your clients. As if they're in a situation like where they're trying to decide, you know, what college major is right for them, or what career goals they want. One of those foundational things is to do, you know, some exploring of the person's values. And, you know, we all have different values. Some of us value, you know, money, security, creativity, social justice. You know, there's a million things that could be core values for a person that's going to go into the process of deciding, you know, what they want to do with their time on this earth. And, yeah, so I can't help but reflect on my own values in this way. And something that keeps coming up time and time again is this notion of critical thinking. And I've noticed, you know, taking it back to this presidential election primary cycle, is, you know, it boggles the mind sometimes when you try to contemplate how it is that millions of Americans are swayed in one direction or the other. That doesn't agree with your own critical thinking. So, you know, I'll just put it right out there and say that I'm somewhat baffled by the Donald Trump phenomenon. I guess I'm baffled, but of course, you know, on another level, it makes perfect sense. But the way I make sense of it is, I guess, probably condescending to, you know, the millions of Trump supporters out there. And that's the sense of, well, you know, they just simply must lack a certain level of critical thinking ability in order to not, you know, look at the situation the same way that I do. And, I'm sure that that's a similar, people look at me in a similar vein, you know, if they were to say, oh, well, Bob, how could you possibly support, you know, Bernie Sanders, or how could you have this or that view? It's like your critical thinking is what's messed up, not mine. And usually these things tend to kind of stall out right there. And one of the things I'm interested in is, you know, is there really, you know, is it really just that anybody can just justify whatever opinion they have? Or is there really such a thing as a critical thinking process that if two people follow when they're weighing a set of circumstances or an issue, that they should arrive on some similar territory? Or is this just too much to hope for? And if it is too much to hope for, and there's really no faith that should be put in the critical thinking process, then, you know, where are we? how can we come to consensus or do anything when we can't agree on the most reasonable course of action in so many ways? So, yeah, I don't know. And I think this is, you know, I think this is really bedrock for me in a lot of areas. Of course, so many of the prior podcast topics really come down to the same thing. It's like I will take on an issue, say like the war on drugs or addiction. And to me, when you look at all the evidence and you think through all the arguments, it should be obvious that you agree with my position on things. And I would be lying, I'd be intellectually dishonest if I were to say that I respect all opinions equally. Of course I don't. The reason I'm trying to advance my points of view is because I think that they're more right. They're better. They're, you know, potentially more helpful to humanity and to, you know, people that are suffering. So I don't think that, you know, every opinion is equal and every perspective is of equal value. Of course, I respect, you know, the right for people to hold different opinions and so forth, but it doesn't mean that, you know, all opinions are of equal validity. And what would happen, I guess, is sort of the mental thought experiment I'm having. If everyone really did have an equivalently high level of critical thinking skills, like, would we still have such a diversity of opinion or a polarization of opinion on so many issues? Or not? Would we really converge on a lot of important things? And if we did still have disagreements, given, you know, everyone having an impeccable degree of critical thinking abilities, where would those disagreements be and how could we characterize them? It wouldn't be just simply a matter of, you know, any old random opinion. So I don't know. And so thinking about this a little bit, I've sort of created a little bit of a sort of terminology in my mind. And as I'm looking at it now, it seems to me that if you're having a discussion on any issue, whether it's, you know, what we should do about addiction, you know, are mental disorders really diseases, you know, anything I've brought up on these podcasts, or, you know, should you, you know, choose Donald Trump over, you know, John Kasich or, you know, Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, any issue you might have, no matter the issue, you know, you can't take for granted that a sound critical thinking is going to happen on both sides. So let me just throw out one example, and then I'll sort of share what my current thinking on this is. Let's just take the appointment of a new Supreme Court justice. So we've got, you know, Justice Scalia passed away, and now some folks on the Republican side are saying we're not even going to, you know, consider President Obama's nominee. And of course, Democrats are saying, you know, you need to do your job in the Senate and, you know, this is ridiculous. And Republicans are saying, you know, you Democrats would do the same thing if the shoe was on the other foot, blah, blah, blah. And so you have two different perspectives. And I guess the question for me is, does the impasse fall into one of two categories? Is it, on the one hand, a failure of critical thinking? Is that what accounts for the difference in perspective? A failure of critical thinking either on both sides or on one side. Or it could be a matter of reasonable disagreement. So you have two possibilities when you're not coming to agreement on something, in my mind. Maybe there's other ways of looking at it. It's a failure of critical thinking, or it's a matter of reasonable disagreement. So in this issue with the Supreme Court justice, it's clear to me that it's the reason there's a disagreement is not because both sides have rigorously applied a high standard of critical thinking, and then they the difference in opinion is accounted for reasonably. So there's not a reasonable disagreement. And the way that I know this is simply by following the lines of argument on both sides. I mean, there's clearly to me a failure of critical thinking, really on both sides, but definitely on the side of the Republican Congress, in that this primary argument, which I guess is, if the shoe were on the other foot and it was a Democratic Congress and a Republican president, surely, you know, Democrats would do the same thing and try to block any Supreme Court nomination that would tilt the scale. And in fact, they've done it before. And, you know, so of course, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do just what they would do. And to me, you know, and that's also behind that same argument where, you know, this is what's traditionally happened in the last 80 years and all this other stuff. To me, that's just very poor critical thinking right there. The notion that we're going to do this wrong thing, this morally and ethically wrong thing, on the grounds that they would do the wrong thing, and somehow that makes it right, just seems ridiculous. I mean, that sounds like something two siblings would try to argue to their mom, you know, when somebody gets in trouble and say, oh, well, you know, Johnny did this and he didn't get in trouble, so why should I get in trouble? And that sort of deflection from the core issue is what you did right or wrong. And clearly, if you think the Democrats would be wrong and unethical to block a Supreme Court nomination from a Republican president, then you don't use that as justification to therefore do the same thing. I mean, that's just poor thinking right there. And of course, the Democrats were sort of guilty of the same poor critical thinking and sort of not really admitting that right up front, that yes, of course, you know, we have done the same thing in the past and we probably would do the same thing. But, you know, a better argument to me is like, you know, what's the right thing to do? And regardless of what's happened in the past, you know, let's just, how about just doing the right thing, the moral and ethical thing here? And so you could still end up disagreeing as to the right course of action, but follow a rigorous critical thinking process. And then the difference there would be conceived of in a different way. It wouldn't be a matter of, it wouldn't be a failure of critical thinking that accounted for the disagreement. It would be a matter of reasonable disagreement. And of course, I believe there are many, many areas and many arguments that can end in disagreement and differing perspectives, where reason has just gone as far as it's going to go. And, you know, you have what's called, you know, reasonable disagreement there. And of course, if we could just get to that point on all these critical issues, that would be, you know, staggering progress. Because, you know, once you get into that space, you know, there's hope, you know, for a compromise and, you know, either course of action, whatever side wins the debate, is, you know, by definition, reasonable. But that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is differing perspectives that differ because of the failure of critical thinking. And this to me is the issue. I mean, it's the issue in politics. It's the issue in everything that I've talked about on this podcast, is if we could just all think things through and go through this basic process of critical thinking, then, you know, then we can really get to where the action is and get sort of something done. But if we can't get to that point, then there's really all we have is rhetoric, is two sides trying to sort of win the day at any cost, and not through a reasonable argument, but just through persuasion and, you know, taking advantage of the fact that so many people out there do not have an adequate level of critical thinking. And I think this is, again, a core thing. Speaking for myself, again, this is a core value of mine. And it's my sincere belief that if the general population had just an what I would call adequate, but let's just sort of fantasize and say everyone in the world had a high level of critical thinking going, of course, we still have disagreements and differing perspectives, but so much of the bullshit that we see from politicians and corporations and any group of people or individual people that are trying to influence others and take advantage of the frailties of critical thinking that they have, these things just wouldn't work anymore. political ads would just go away because they wouldn't be effective. And, you know, when I see political advertisements or my friends and family members that have demonstrated a very high level of critical thinking, these things are just jokes. I mean, they would have no influence on any of us. But of course, they must have influence on some folks because, you know, millions of dollars are being spent on these. And so, you know, then, it, you know, of course, it goes back to the education and, you know, just valuing critical thinking as a culture. And maybe, you know, there's reasons why we don't. But so what do I mean by critical thinking? I think just very basically, you need to recognize that we all have biases. Just having the self-awareness of knowing that we each have biases, of knowing things like when we're emotionally attached to an issue, it will cloud our thinking. And so perhaps we need to step back. I mean, anyone who's had that experience when you're angry, when you're jealous, when you're horny, whatever thing, when you have different chemicals coursing through your nervous system, it changes how you think. And so part of being a good critical thinker is knowing when your buttons have been pushed and, in a sense, not really trusting the clarity of your thinking in those moments and waiting until you're, you know, in a more dispassionate place. Another thing that's sort of foundational, especially if you're having a dialogue with another person or you're engaging with another perspective, is to really engage in that perspective, to actually respond to someone else's argument and not just sort of sidestep it with some bombast and rhetoric, which of course is what we see time and time again in these political debates. And when journalists are questioning politicians, they don't answer the question. They answer something else, and the journalists, of course, aren't really asking questions in the right spirit either, because they're just trying to get a headline and sort of trying to corner the politician by asking a question in a certain way, the way a lawyer might do in a courtroom. And so it's understandable that, you know, you wouldn't want to answer the question exactly as posed sometime. But if you want to make actual progress, and I've learned this, you know, in having conversations with my wife and other people where I'm, you know, not seeing eye to eye on something, you've got to be willing to restate the other person's argument, to really, in good faith, engage their perspective. Don't move from one point to the next until you've repeated what the other person said and check in with them. Okay, is this what you said? Is this what you meant? Okay, well, given this, here's what I have to say. And then there's just certain rules of engagement. If each party does that on every point, you're much more likely to either get to a place of agreement, or when you finally get to what you really disagree about, it's going to be fine-tuned, and those spaces are going to be true matters of reasonable disagreement and not failures of critical thinking. And there's just a vast, vast difference. I think when you get to a matter of reasonable disagreement, it's implied that, you know, there's a lot of common ground there, and there's these small pockets of reasonable disagreement that can be accounted for by the limits of evidence, the limits of reason, you know, all kinds of things can account for that, the difficulty and complexity of the problem. But if we could just get to that place of reasonable disagreement on these complex issues, then there's hope. But there's really no hope when we can't even have a discussion at all or engage with each other at all because of simple failures of critical thinking, failures to recognize that we all have our own biases, failures to recognize how emotion can distort the clarity of our thinking, failure to actually in good faith engage with another perspective and make an effort to understand where the person's coming from, and actually go through the trouble of repeating what they said and checking in with them and actually answering their points point by point, you know, answering their arguments directly, admitting that you don't know something instead of pretending that you do. And yeah, I know it's a sort of a utopian thing to dream that we could get to this place where we all valued basic critical thinking enough that we were committed to this. And like other people, I've had this fantasy of a game show or a television show where, you know, it was moderated by an impeccably reasonable person who would have people of differing perspectives on, and people would follow just these basic critical thinking guidelines. And if they were to just do so, just follow some basic steps and a basic spirit of, you know, just valuing what the essence of critical thinking is and respectful dialogue, it would be just incredible. I mean, we could get, again, either to consensus on certain things or find out where this area of reasonable disagreement is. And that's really where, you know, then could be the focus of future dialogues and future thinking, is these areas of reasonable disagreement, which are many. But if we can't get there, then we're screwed. So as stupid as this sounds, it's a matter of FOCT, F-O-C-T, failure of critical thinking. I mean, we are FOCT. We're truly FOCT if we can't just, you know, have the intellectual honesty and curiosity and commitment to just some basic reasonableness. And if that's the situation, if the disagreement comes down to that the situation is quote-unquote FOCT, a failure of critical thinking, then, you know, we just need to recognize that and get one or both parties to be committed to just some very basic critical thinking steps like I outlined, and then it gets to MORD, M-O-R-D, a matter of reasonable disagreement. So F-O-C-T or M-O-R-D, these are the two possibilities I've had in my mind. And so I'm just trying to get more and more committed to the latter, to if I want to have a dialogue, a discussion, or put out my points of view and my perspectives on things, I want to engage other perspectives and get either consensus or get to that place of reasonable disagreement. And then within that space, we could have another discussion, and we could, you know, get to a point, maybe not of perfect consensus, because we're always going to have, you know, differing points of view. But that's where you can really truly make progress. And I think it's the only way we have really made progress on anything. So how am I going to embody this? I'm not sure. I mean, I guess I could be mindful of my tone when I'm making proclamations on things, and just, you know, really just following the steps as I laid them out. I mean, not recognizing that when I have an emotional attachment to something, I may not, maybe not be thinking super clearly about it. And to try to avoid the sense that, you know, everyone else is an idiot and they should just see things my way. I mean, that, of course, doesn't help at all. And it's not, you know, engaging another perspective or another individual in this spirit. So, like, let's get to the place of reasonable disagreement here, or even a bigger fantasy, consensus. So, I don't know. That's about all. I think I'll ramble on that today. I just think that, you know, I haven't really been thinking about any specific topics, but just how important it is to just follow some basic critical thinking when it comes to some of these difficult issues, whether it's in the realm of integral health and mental health and psychiatry and anti-psychiatry and all these the things I've covered on previous podcasts, or it's just, you know, in life when you're having a discussion with your wife or a friend, or, you know, a lot of us are engaged in the political process right now, or there's issues going on in the world, you know, terrorism, this, that, and the other thing, and we're engaging different perspectives, and just to, you know, just to see, do we really value critical thinking enough to follow some, you know, basic guidelines here, or is it just a matter of being right? And if we could all, you know, just do some really basic things, I think we'd be in a place of a lot more promise and hope. So there you go. I'll talk to you next time. Again, you can always engage with me on the website, integralhealthresources.com, the Twitter feed, integral_health, by email, bob@integralhealthresources.com. And I'll hopefully talk to you soon. Bye-bye.